Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to I Got Questions, week number 2. And I'm so glad you're with us. If you missed last week, we talked about the question, how to deal with anxiety. If you missed it, I believe it'll really help you. Go back, jump on the podcast, get on there, and give it a listen. But wanted to give a little update. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to make some adjustments with COVID. And how many of you are so tired of making adjustments just in life, period, because of COVID? And so we were thinking about pulling both locations together for a season. And last weekend, the spirit of our church, the temperature on both campuses, I just walked away and God said, this isn't a time to change course. It's a time to double down. And so we're going to leave things as they are. And I really feel like God said, man, we've been in a little bit of survival mode for a while. Like, I think just people in general right now, you know what I mean? Can I take a vacation? Can I not take a vacation? Are my kids going to school? Are they not going to school? Just everything feels a little off balance. And I really feel like God wanted me to encourage our church, hey, we're moving out of that. And we're going to take ground and we're going to build God's house. And so this is a time like that you can invite friends like never before, because people are looking for something to make sense of what is going on in the world right now. And your voice, your invite, let's be builders of God's house. We're not slowing down. We're just going to keep on pressing forward. But like I said, last week we talked about how to deal with anxiety. And throughout this season, because of all the changes and just so many things that have gone on in people's lives, I've had so many people reach out to me and go, Pastor Jesse, I just feel like I've lost purpose. I feel like I've lost some purpose. So today we're going to try to answer that question. How do I find purpose for my life? And I'm going to give you one short verse that's power-packed, written by the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And he's going to give us some insight on how to find purpose. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And today I want to talk to you from this big idea. And you're going to have to take this journey with me and lean in and help me preach, even through the mask. Let's get everything out of it that we're going to get out of it. I want to talk to you about purpose over plans. Purpose over plans. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your purposes that are yes and amen. God, we thank you. You never change and you never back off, Lord God, but you've always got great things for us. So I pray if anybody today is looking for purpose, searching for purpose, that God, that they would hear a voice behind my voice today, the Holy Spirit, revealing to them what you have for them. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, 11 a.m. If we love Jesus, let's put our hands together for him. So have you ever made plans and they just fell apart? Boy, that's frustrating. There is nothing more frustrating than putting together plans and them not working out. We have a young church, so we've got people getting married like crazy. I mean, listen, if you're single and you're looking for somebody and you got your head on straight, you just plant yourself in this house and we'll hook you up. That's kind of the way it works, okay? And so we got people getting married all over the place. And it's funny because man, if you've ever wanted to discourage a bride, have her try to get married during COVID. You can't get a building, then you could get a building, then, you know, it's just wild, you know what I mean? And there's nothing more frustrating than letting plans fall apart. I'm a planner. Do we got any planners out there? Like, you're the person who enjoys planning the vacation more than taking it? Nobody's like, no, that's not me ever. You know, I know some people like that. I'm a planner. I like to plan. I like to plan long range. I like to sit down and have plans for like where we're going to lead the church and where we want to go five years from now, 10 years from now, like where I see us going. And we sit down every season or every quarter and we put together quarterly goals and we laminate them and we all put them in our Bibles as far as some of our pastors and directors, and we pray over them. And I remember when the first weekend I started to realize we weren't going to be able to have in-person church. I remember I got up in the morning, and usually Sunday mornings I'll go to headquarters, I'll pray, and I pull out that bookmark and I pray. And I say, God, today, you see what we're trying to do, you know what I mean? partner with us today. Help us build your house. Like, you know what I mean? And I remember pulling that out and just wanting to cry. Because I was like, none of these make any sense right now whatsoever. And so then we realized we had to go online. And we moved church online. And then we moved groups online. And then we realized we were able to come back. And then we had watch parties. And it was just, I just felt like plans were changing all the time. And the reality is we stay nimble and we try to make the best out of it. But the reality is all that changing of plans, it actually kind of got to me a little bit. You ever been there? Where you're just like I feel a little like off balance. I feel a little weak. And God spoke to me during this season a really, really powerful truth, because when my plans broke down, I had a sense that my purpose also had to. Because, and then God really spoke to this to me, and this is what he says. He says, you as believers, as humans, we have a tendency to put our faith in our plans. Like, plans are great. They give us something to hold on to. They give us some kind of structure. Like, I'm glad that I have a plan for my day. But when the plan breaks apart, how does it tweak my faith? See, whatever you use to sustain your faith, that'll be your source of strength. So if my plan is my source of strength, listen, I'm telling you what, plans are fragile. Here's what I've learned about plans. Simply this, plans can be stolen, plans can fall apart, and plans can fail. Just think about it for a moment. Plans can be stolen. Like, I had plans this year, and those plans were interrupted by the wonderful coronavirus. Some of you had vacation plans, and those were interrupted. Like, listen, plans, they can be kind of like stolen away. How about plans can just fall apart? Like, they just fall apart and just don't. Or plans can just flat out just not work. And so what would happen to our life if we put our faith in plans? What we're going to find is that we're going to have a very fragile faith journey. So here's what I see happen in a lot of people's lives, including mine. I constantly have to challenge myself in this, is I don't feel like I'm completely winning. Like, I don't feel like I'm on all cylinders with God, right? So then I sit down and I go, okay, time to get a plan. And I sit down and I work, I make up a plan, and then I put all my effort in this plan, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong, like life normally does, and the plan falls apart. Then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, back in the same cycle. Oh, I'm not doing well with God again. See, when we put our faith in the plan rather than understanding that God has something deeper on the inside of us than he wants to do besides plans. Just think about how ingrained this is in us as humans, okay? My son is 3, my little boy Zion, and he's starting to understand that there's things is like professions. And so he's fascinated with firemen and policemen, and everywhere we go, Daddy, I want to be a policeman. And so I'll ask him periodically, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? What am I saying? What's your plan? And so he's making plans. Now, his plans are far out right now. He goes from everything from astronaut to policeman to crocodile hunter. You know what I mean? Like, he's somewhere in between there. But the reality is as you get older, you feel even more pressure to solidify your plans. The plan is to go to college, even if I don't know what I want to go for. You should just go. Like, that's why 70% of all people that graduate from college don't use their degree in their current line of work. Because why? We got plans, and we got pressures of plans, and you got to work the plan if you want to win. And all of a sudden, we start to put our faith so much in these plans. But the reality is that God wants you to understand that those plans, they can be stolen, they can be tweaked, they can fail. But I want to remind you today, here, listen. Plans can be stolen, your purpose cannot. Plans can be stolen, your purpose cannot. Your purpose has nothing to do with your circumstances, opportunity, downturn in economy, has nothing to do with COVID, has nothing to do with your purpose. Your purpose is God-given, which means it is not temporary. It is something that is eternal. See, plans will come and go. Your purpose will remain. I want you to grab a hold of this. This is comforting to me when we're thinking about purpose. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says this, for God's gifts and his call. You could put that word call as purpose. What God has purpose for your life are what? Irrevocable. Well, Pastor, did God see the economic downturn? Did God see I would lose my job? Did God see, I feel like my purpose is shattered because what? My plan fell apart. God wants you to understand that it has nothing to do with the plan. It has everything to do with the identity that he wants to build in you. We have a tendency to form our identity on what we do. God wants you to form your identity on who he says you are. Purpose goes deeper than a plan. That's why when God gives it, he's literally making a promise right now. He won't even take it back. What I found in my life is that my purpose cannot be stolen. It can only be forfeited. Because I get onto things that aren't a part of my purpose. Because I put faith in the wrong things. Now I'm up and down, up and down. But when I understand God's given me a purpose, listen, that thing's irrevocable. I can't lose it. It can't be stolen. It's a yes and amen because it's not something that is temporary. It is something that is internal. Listen, plans can fall apart. Purpose cannot. Listen, I want you to grab a hold of that. Plans can fall apart. Your purpose cannot. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Like, sometimes it feels like it goes up and down or something falls apart. Here's what I want you to understand. When you are living with God's purpose in your life and God's purposes in your life, here's the promise that you have in Romans chapter 8. It says this, and we know that those who love God. So the whole framework of this is that we put all of our attention, all of our focus, and our passion, what? Towards God. We are lovers of God, and when we love God, for those who love God, all things. Come on, somebody, get a little happy. That means all things. That means coronavirus. That means I lost my job. That means I'm going through a difficult time in my marriage. Listen, I want you to tell you, listen, your purpose will not fall apart. God will continue to sustain it. Why? Because he's going to make all things work for your good. For who? For those that are called according to his purpose. When his purpose is on your life, you can't lose. You may change plans. Nothing wrong with having a plan. Plans may change. Position may change. Your purpose will remain the same. Do you know how you make it through a difficult season? It's to know my purpose cannot be stolen. It cannot be robbed. When we were going through this as a church, man, I coach a lot of church planters all over the country. And I had a lot of friends that had to shut down their church just because couldn't make it through it. And people went through difficult times as a pastor, and God had to deal with me on this. He said, Jesse, you had plans. Sunday morning is a plan. What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? Can anybody steal that? Can the devil steal that? Can COVID steal that? I said, no. And he said, then live the purpose, and I will carry you through. I will work all things for the good of those who love you. That's not a promise just for this church. That's a promise for your life. Give me a good amen. Here's what I found. Plans can fail. Purpose cannot. See, plans, the reason we love plans is because they give us a measuring stick. The problem is if you don't know what your purpose is, you'll build plans based on somebody else's purpose. You'll look and go, well, that worked for them. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong from learning from people. If you're a business owner and you're not learning from other business owners, you need to rethink your strategy. That's called smarts. But you can't find your business's purpose by looking at somebody else's. You may learn how to do accounting better. You may learn how to do finance better. But the core reason why I get up in the morning and go build my business can only be discovered because of God. So what I'm saying is plans, they can fail. But when your purpose is on the inside, you realize that every day, listen, I may not be moving as fast as I want to. I may not have seen everything happen that I want to. But if every day I have a conviction that I can get up in the morning and live out my purpose, how can I fail? How can I fail? When you have that deep level of conviction, see, purpose goes a layer below plans. Purpose will plan, but it just doesn't have faith in the plan. Has faith in God who gives us purpose. So if purpose is a massive deal, here's my encouragement to you today. If you want to find a sense of significance, fulfillment, fortitude through difficult seasons, here's what I recommend. Focus your life on your purpose. Don't focus your life on a plan. Plans are fine, but focus it on your purpose. Because here's what I found in my life. Plans will change. Not only that, the devil will give me good plans. They look real good to me. And to be honest with you, I'll invest years of my time into it, realizing that it didn't fulfill me at all. Have you ever heard the old saying? You know, man climbed up a ladder going up the side of the building only to realize it was leaning on the wrong building. That's what happens when we put faith in a plan. You're going to go somewhere. It does not may be fulfilling. So if you're going to build your life on something, discover God's purpose for your life and focus your energy, your attention towards that purpose. This is exactly what Paul is writing in our opening scripture to the Corinthian church. To understand the context around verse 18 where he says, hey, don't pay attention to what is seen, look for what's unseen, for what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal, is he's talking to them about going through a very difficult time. He's saying, I know you feel pressed from every side. I know it feels like it's overwhelming right now, but here's what I want you to understand. This temporary and light affliction is producing in you a glory that far outweighs what you can see. Like, it's producing something on the inside of you. So when plans fall apart, sometimes God will use the plan falling apart to get you back centered on your purpose, on what he's called you to. Listen, don't worry about that. Like, I understand it feels difficult right now, but I'm going to give you some insight. Listen, it's producing something in you, and here's how you find what it's supposed to be producing in you. Verse 18, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, so fix our eyes. Fix them. Not these ones, this one, my heart, the intention of the heart. The Bible says that the eyes are the gateway to the soul. So if you were to apply that to this verse, what is he saying? He's saying, fix your soul, fix your heart, fix your purpose. The sum total of why I get up in the morning, who I am as a person. Don't fix it on what you can see. Don't fix it on the plan. Fix it on what is unseen. What's the key insight here? You can only discover purpose. You can't discover purpose in a self-help book. You can't discover purpose, you know, by reading a magazine or going to a class. You find purpose by what? Fixing your soul on what is unseen. What is unseen? It's God. So when I fix my eyes on Jesus, all of a sudden there is a transfer from his purposes into my life. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Purpose comes by revelation, not strategy. It comes because you've been with God and you've spent time with God and God has spoken to you. The Bible calls as deep calls unto deep. There is a deep place in your soul that you know longs for more. And what you need is you need God to speak to that place and fill it with purpose. Because why? That purpose, it cannot be stolen. It cannot fall apart. And it cannot fail. Here's what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. They don't have a sense of direction in life. They don't have a sense of conviction that I'm going in the right direction, that I'm about the right things, that I'm pursuing the right things. But where there is no revelation, many translations would say, where there is no vision. But that's not the American version of the word that we would think. When we think vision, we think planning. The actual word is revelation or a prophetic revelation. So it's something supernatural. It's God showing you something about who you are and what God has created you to do that what? You can't sit down and plan it out. It's divine. I remember when I first found this coming in my life. By the way, this is the place where you build faith. You won't have faith for a plan. Somebody write that down. Write it on your forehead. I won't have faith for a plan. You know why? Because, like, you just won't. But purpose? Purpose speaks to you. You ever had a plan speak to you? No. I speak to the plan. I fulfill the plan. It's the purpose in me that runs the plan. You need something on the inside of you that speaks to you. It reminds you who you are. It's marked by God. It can only happen via revelation. When I first became a Christian, I think I was about 6 months in, and many of you would know some of my story and the people in the youth ministry that I was a part of definitely did. But I was on drugs for a while and kind of a hot mess. And then I met Jesus. And so we would, you know, have youth every Wednesday night. And it was a big youth ministry, maybe like three or 400 kids. And one of the youth leaders comes running up to me. Jesse, I need your help. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on? He goes, there's a kid over here. He's on drugs. He's like hallucinating. We need your help. And I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? They're like, well, that's your thing, right? Like, that's what you, I'm like, what does this mean? This because I had a problem? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, fine, I'll go talk to him. And I get to this kid, and he is, I mean, he's like this, he's, you know, won't make eye contact with me. And like, so I'm trying to talk to him, and I'm starting to realize, like, every time I try to like lead him somewhere, he's starting to get kind of belligerent with me. And I'm like, okay, I don't really know what to do with this. I'm going to have to, you know, kind of figure this out. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what to do right now. And God was like, I'll help. I was like, oh, great idea. So God, what would you like me to do? He said, get him inside. I said, into like, because worship had just started, you know, the service. And I said, you want me to take him in there? I'm like, it's kind of like this. There's lights and strobe. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this guy's going to totally go off the rail on me. You know what I mean? But God said, just get him in there. And so I got him in, and we walk up front, and there's all these kids worshiping and whatever. And so then I'm standing there, and he's like this. Like, his mind's blown, you know what I mean? Like, you know, just looking around. And I'm like, okay, God, I got him in here. What would you like me to do now? And he said, just worship. So I started worshiping, and all, man, I'm telling you, God was there. Such a powerful way. And all of a sudden, I almost forgot about him, because I'm, like, having this encounter with God. And all of a sudden, I got down on my knees. And I started to, like, because I was praying, and I was just kind of there in the moment, tears coming down my face, and I look over, and he's on his knees, tears coming down his face. He looks over at me, and I could see it in his eyes, sober, just not a, you know, just totally all the way there, and he's looking at me. I don't know what's happening to me. I feel something different. What do I do? What do I do right now? I said, well, dude, this is God. Jesus is coming to rescue you right now. You want to pray? And I prayed with him, kneeling on the floor with people worshiping for him to come to Christ. And kid's a youth pastor now. And really, really awesome story that I really had nothing to do with. But I realized that day, I walked out of there and I realized something so significant had happened in him. But something so significant had happened in me. Because I knew I loved Jesus, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do with it. And it was like in that moment, deep called unto deep in me and said, this is the mark that I'm going to put on your life, that you are going to be a person who gets people to the presence of God, gets them delivered, set free, and healed up. And all of a sudden, I started to realize that it didn't matter whether I was a lawyer, whether I was a doctor, whether I went to college, Those are all plans, and they're great plans. But my purpose on this planet was to worship him and to get other people to him. That's what my purpose was. Can I tell you that moments when I want to quit, my four-year plan isn't the thing that cries out to me. My four-year plan isn't the thing that says, I'm not giving up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to keep pursuing this thing. It's that purpose that was birthed sitting with a kid on the floor in God's presence. I want to remind you today, purpose is birthed through revelation. I can't give you a blueprint. I can't give you a four-point help plan. It's only God. It's only God that something eternal comes into the temporary. And that's the next thing that Paul begins to teach us. He says, so fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on what is seen. And then he writes this. He gives us some really clear things. Because why? Because what is unseen, since what is seen is what? Temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. You know what I found in my life is that I spend most of my life planning for the temporary. And it never fulfills. But when I fix my eyes not on what is seen, because why? Because what is unseen is eternal. So when we start talking about God-given purpose in your life, you have to understand it. It's not a thing of this world. It's a thing that will outlast you. It's a thing that is eternal. Here's what I want you to grab a hold of. If you're going to be able to fully grab a hold of how to get God's purpose, you're going to have to set a new trajectory for the outcome. When I make a plan, I'm going, hey, I'm going to save, or I'm going to get out of debt, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. The trajectory of that outcome is temporary. It's a thing of this world. What would happen, like, here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Real purpose has an eternal outcome. You need something that it's so much bigger than this world. You need something from God that is eternal, that cries out to you from the inside, that what? That you realize that it can't be stolen, it can't be taken away. God is going to birth something in my life, and let me tell you what, it's going to have an eternal impact. So if we look at eternity, what are things that are eternal? Because if we're going to fix our eyes on something, not what is seen, but what is unseen, if we're looking for the eternal, not the temporary, if we're looking for that sense of purpose in our life, what is eternal? Well, the first thing is God's eternal. Like, God's eternal. He always was, he always will be. Like, if we're going to grab a hold of something out of this world or out of the temporary into the eternal, it all starts with God. It all starts with knowing who you are in God. Can I tell you, the greatest thing that you could do to find purpose in this life is not to read another book. It's not to watch an inspiring show or get a coach or any of those kinds of things. You know what it is? Get up 30 minutes early in the morning. Put you some worship music on. Walk with God. God, I worship you today because I'm going to put you first in my life. You're the Lord of my life. God, all of a sudden you start to commune with God, and who he is starts to become a part of who you are. What is eternal begins to invade the temporary. Can I tell you, you cannot find your purpose anywhere but God. And when he gives it, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't harm, it can't be stolen, it can't be broken, and it cannot fail because it's his purpose. God is eternal. You know what else is eternal? People are eternal. Listen, you got to get this. This is the thread through the entire Bible. How to find significance. Here it is. Here it is. First of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any gods, what? Before me. Why? Because God's like a narcissist and, you know, needs to control you? No. He's saying, listen, if you put something before me, you're going to make plans. Those plans are going to be temporary. They're never going to bring fulfillment. You're never going to find blessing. So you know what? The best thing that you can do for your life is to keep me number one. Because when you keep me number one and you walk with me and you pray and you talk with me and you worship, who I am becomes a part of who you are. And friend, that purpose, it's fulfilling. It's blessed. It's favored. The Bible says that God adds blessing and with it, no sorrow. That's purpose on the inside of your life. And that starts with God. But if you spend time with God, who God is going to rub off on you. And people are eternal. Listen, every person in this room is going to live in eternity somewhere. Like, that's what the mission of this church is to try to drastically change the trajectory for as many people as humanly possible. That they would spend it with God, not the other guy. That we are eternal. People are eternal. We are made in the image of God. We will live on forever. God is on a mission to rescue his eternal children. You will never be able to find a fully life-giving sense of purpose on the inside if it's about you. When you get your eyes off of what? Yourself. Onto God, and God shares his heart with you, and then you get it onto his people. I'm telling you, there's something so powerful that happens. You start to learn this thing, it's called serving. Laying down one's life, serving humanity. See, plans serve me. I don't serve plans. I serve God, who loves people. Therefore, I gladly, full of purpose, serve humanity. Can I tell you, there is no season in this world that can steal that. None. COVID, loss of job, da-da-da-da. If there's people, if I have breath and you have breath in your lungs, I can live out my God-given purpose. And you know what I found in my life? It's just crazy. When I'm living in God's purposes, he's like really good at taking care of me. Like, he's my shepherd. I do not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes tables in the presence of my enemies. What? It's like this beautiful picture that when God is number one and he fills your life with purpose, downturns, upturns, listen, you're going to win. You're going to win in every season. See, God is eternal. People are eternal. And so if God was going to give a plan of where you could flesh out your purpose. So God's going to put purpose in you. You're going to connect with him. He's going to fill your life with purpose. He's going to share his heart with you. He's going to give you a love for people, to serve people. Then he also gives us this thing. It's called his plan. It is plan A. There is no other plan. And it's this, and it's also eternal. The church is eternal. The house of God should be a place where your ideals are challenged. Your eyes are put back on God. Your heart is open to God. Worship fills your heart and purpose enters your life. This should also be the place that you don't just attend. This is the place where what? You start to learn how to serve people. Can I tell you, people, it's so funny. I love this. I love being a pastor sometimes because we've kind of done this in church for a while, and we even did it here for a little bit. We're like, let's find your gift mix. And while I love, like, I want you to be in your gift zone, you know what I mean? You don't need to be, that's when God's purpose hits your life, you don't have to be uberly gifted. Like, loving people just takes passion and an ability to die to oneself. I can serve people and build God's house in the parking lot the same as I can right here. I can do it right here. I could do it in kids. Because why? The microphone's not my mission. The position's not my mission. The plan's not my mission. God's people is my purpose. So I'm gonna love, I'm gonna give, I'm gonna, because why? Listen, you better get used to the people around here, and you better start learning to love them, because you won't spend all of eternity with them if you follow Jesus. Because his church is eternal. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How does God build his church? Well, he started like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus hung on a cross to open up a pathway back to God. Because why? Jesus understood the greatest thing he could do for humanity was not to give us a list of rules and regulations and a plan, but a pathway back to the one that would fill our hearts with purpose. And once we open that back up, then he gave us a mission. He says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here's his promise. I'm gonna be with you always. Go build the church. And here's the promise. The gates of hell will not be able to stand against you. What does that mean? When you're living God's purposes, Corona can't stop you. Job loss can't stop you. Economic downturn can't stop you. Loss can't stop you. Because why? When it's God's purposes, it can't be stolen. It can't fall apart. And it cannot fail. Because it's his purpose. We have a simple saying, and I'm going to kind of wrap this up. It's our purpose statement at our church. We want you to simply do this. Love God, love people, and lead in life. Why? Because we understand if you take those three things real passionately, you're going to find your purpose. And the greatest thing that I can do for you as your pastor is give you that connection with God that gives you that sense of purpose in the inside. You go, I'm ready for today. I'm going to make a difference today. I'm living for something bigger than myself today. Simply put, plans, they're temporary. Purpose is eternal. You know, I was reminded of this story about this. It takes place really in Bible times. And there was a king who was coming through the city. And how many of you seen Gladiator, you know, where they carry, you know what I mean? Like, they carry the king around on you know, the thing. And he's kind of working his way through the city. And he's coming through the city, and there's a little beggar on the side of the road. And this beggar realizes that it's the king. So he's been out there begging, you know, all day, and he realizes it's the king. He goes, this is my opportunity. So I got a plan. I'm going to reposition myself, and I'm going to get real loud. Alms for the poor, oh great king. Alms for the poor, oh great king. And all of a sudden, he's walking, and the king's sitting there, and he's kind of, I don't know what he was doing. He's eating grapes, or who knows what kings do. And he keeps on hearing, alms for the poor, oh great king. And he has this thought come to his mind. And he goes, oh, man, I just wonder what this guy's motivation is. Is this like his opportunity, king's coming by? Does he really need help? Is he a beggar? And he goes, well, I got a good test. He tells his guys to pull it over. He gets out, and he's got bags of gold in the carriage. And he walks up to the guy, and he goes, son, you're a son of this kingdom. And so I heard you saying alms for the poor. And he goes, but I have one question. How much? I think you need to give me your money. I think you just got to trust your king. You give me what you have. And so this beggar, all of a sudden, he wasn't expecting that. He's almost the audacity of this king. Like, I'm poor. Why do you need what I have? What do you? And so he reaches, and he's got some change in there, because he's kind of been kind of doing this all day. And he realizes, he goes, well, I don't know what he's going to do with it, so I'm not going to give it all. So he pulls a couple of the coins, and he says, dear king, this is all I have. And he goes, oh, 2 denarii. Well, 2 denarii equals 2 bags of gold. And he trades them 2 bags of gold for his 2 denarii. And he says, be blessed, son of the kingdom. And he jumps back in his carriage. And you would have think that the beggar was just overjoyed, right? He just went from just 2 little denarii to 2 bags of gold. But this thought kept on ringing in his head. I wonder what would have happened if I gave it all. And this is the conundrum, finding your purpose. There is no shortcuts with God. It's either like, I'm all in, I trust the king, this is his kingdom, I can surrender, I can give my best. Listen, I gotta trust, but it's a surrendering to God that brings his purposes in our life. Don't be the person who at the end of their life goes, what would have happened if I would have just gave it all? Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray that this would be one of those divine moments in your life where you start to realize, God, I'm going all in for you. God, I want you to speak to me. I'm gonna start loving you like I've never loved you before. I'm gonna start serving in church. I'm gonna give my best, knowing that it's only through you that purpose is birthed in my life. Father, I thank you for every person that's here this morning. God, I pray, Lord God, by revelation, purpose would enter people's hearts. Holy Spirit, you are the giver of vision, dreams, Lord God. So I pray that you'd speak to people in their dreams, Lord God. Speak to people through other believers, Lord God. Give people a sense of purpose. May it be born of spirit, Lord God. Because when you birth purpose, it cannot be stolen. It cannot fail. It cannot fall apart. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of true meaning and true purpose. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's worship him.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.